And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 21st of December, 2009, winter solstice today, shortest day of the year, and the longest night, officially the first day of winter. It's the week of Christmas, a week of great stories, Christmas literature, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and O. Henry's The Gift of the Magi, and Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales, and other stories, not as well-known, but enjoyable, beautifully written, such as the story by Vladimir Nabokov, Christmas, set on a country estate in the snowdrifts outside St. Petersburg. A man named Sleptsov carries the coffin of his young son to the church cemetery in the village and comes home, goes to bed, wakes up on Christmas Eve day, goes into his son's room, sits at his son's desk, looks through some of his dead child's belongings. The son had been a butterfly collector, and at the desk the father finds the spreading boards and the muslin net and a biscuit tin that contained a large exotic cocoon, papery to the touch, which seemed made of a brown folded leaf. His son had remembered it during his sickness, regretting that he'd left it behind, but consoling himself with the thought that the chrysalis inside was probably dead. The father sits, weeping, goes back to the house, carrying a few of his son's belongings, including the biscuit tin with the cocoon. He reads from his son's diary, realizes that his son was infatuated with a girl that the father will never know about, and he weeps again. He's convinced that he will die of sorrow on Christmas Day. And then, Nabokov writes, at that instant there was a sudden snap, a thin sound like that of an overstretched rubber band breaking. Sleptsov opened his eyes. The cocoon in the biscuit tin had burst at its tip, and a black, wrinkled creature the size of a mouse was crawling up the wall above the table. It had emerged because the man, overcome with grief, had brought the tin box into the warm room. The creature had awaited this moment so long, had collected its strength so tensely, and now, having broken out, it was slowly and miraculously expanding. And here was a great Atticus moth, like those that fly bird-like around lamps in the Indian dusk. And then those thick black wings took a full breath under the impulse of a tender, ravishing, almost human happiness. Here's a poem for today by Tony Hoagland, entitled The Loneliest Job in the World. As soon as you begin to ask the question, who loves me, you are completely screwed, because the next question is, how much? And then it is hundreds of hours later, and you are still hunched over your flowcharts and abacus, trying to decide if you have gotten enough. This is the loneliest job in the world, to be an accountant of the heart. It is late at night, you are by yourself, and all around you, you can hear the sounds of people moving in and out of love, pushing the turnstiles, putting their coins in the slots, paying the price, which is asked, which constantly changes. No one knows why. A poem by Tony Hoagland, The Loneliest Job in the World, from Unincorporated Persons in the Late Honda Dynasty. Published by Grey Wolf Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Student and gift subscriptions are available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. You can meet people talking about writing and literature at writing.gather.com. Produced by Kathy Roach and written by Margaret Bain. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.